Hey, what's up, Bess? How are you doing?
Wonderful, you?
So the next topic is proof of notice.
I posted well within the 48-hour requirement.
Okay. And the approval of the prior board minutes. I can get a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes.
I get a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, so we're gonna skip to the director reports and move down to new business for a moment with the guest speaker. Kim, if you wanna introduce the guest speakers.
Yeah, so we have Compass Risk Advisors. We have Tim and we have Chelsea. And Chelsea and I and Tim have been talking a little bit about your community, and I was waiting on an insurance summary, which is a kind of a basic form from your agent, and the agent said they didn't know what that was, and Chelsea was there, and she's like, I can do it for you, and we really need one. So she was great, and when she reviewed it, she's like, hey, you know, I'd love to talk to you guys about it. So I wanted to invite her and let her just kind of talk about your policy and what you guys have.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm Chelsea, and this is Tim, Chelsea Chapman, Timothy Chapman. We are brother and sister and business partners. Everyone's always not sure, so yeah. I'll clarify right off rip. Would you mind sharing this with us, please? Do you guys prefer I stand or would like
you? You probably could, you could probably just turn your chair a little bit so you're not
shocked
there.
Yeah,
okay.
Is it okay if I just kind of step
yeah, sure,
here?
Absolutely.
Thanks. So just to clarify, I'm not your current agent or agency that services the insurance for your association. I have over 20 years experience in the HOA condominium association space regarding insurance. So I've basically been doing this since I got out of high school. And I've worked my way all the way through an agency. I've worked at three different agencies. I'm coming off of a stint of 14 years as the vice president of a very large agency out of St. Petersburg. And last fall, Tim and I decided to launch Compass Risk Advisors as our own. Big leap, big step, things are going really well. And we believe that our path has led us here. And so what we're out to do is to help communities navigate their insurance risks. And so as Kim mentioned, we helped with the insurance summary for your community. And through that process, it's just natural after all these years that when we see something that's maybe not the best for your community, we want to point it out to you. So in your packet is just an introduction to our agency. And on the left side is just an introduction to our agency. And then on the right side is the review that we completed. And so we just want to go over this. And I could be here for 3 hours tonight talking about this, and I won't do that to anyone, I promise you. So I'll move kind of quickly, hitting some of the, they're all important, right? We found all these things and we want to make sure that you're aware of them, but I'll spend the most time on the things that are the most important. And the goal is to see if you guys are happy where you're at. Great, fantastic. We're no pressure here. We're just here to help. But if you guys, at the end of our discussion, if you'd like to move forward with our agency, we'd be happy to help you out come the fall, because your renewal is in October. So starting with the property insurance, so this is your physical damage coverage. It looks like you guys have an entry gate. The entry gate is rated as a building. So that means the agent input it as a building, and it's not a building, obviously. So although this may not be the biggest deal in here, it could slow down a claim process. So say someone runs into the gate, right? You go to file a claim. Adjusters like to look at files that are the cleanest, that are rated right and ready to move forward. And so this could shuffle to the bottom of the stack and eventually delay a claims process. So that's something that we would just correct, and there shouldn't be any big premium bearing changes there with that matter. The general liability coverage, do you guys have any association owned units in your community? Okay, so you have an endorsement on there that covers the interior of like the home per se for any association owned units. It's not much of a savings, but we feel like it's unnecessary coverage for you to have, and you're being charged about $300, $400 for this. So we could remove that endorsement since you don't have any association owned units, because you guys as homeowners are responsible for your own homes, and if the association doesn't own any and is like renting them out, there's no liability in that sense for the community. So that's just a light recommendation there. Crime coverage. So this is one of the more important coverages that we have here, in the sense of this is protecting the association's funds. Okay, it's not crime as in like theft and vandalism of like property. It's to protect the association's funds from theft. Right now we have about a $25,000 limit, and I didn't, for your size community, that seems a little bit low, but I don't know what the current financials look like. It's more than that. Okay, so speaking of such, We are an HOA that follows Statute 720, is that correct, Kim?
That is correct.
Okay, so Statute 720 requires that the association, the board, carry a crime limit equal to or higher than the maximum amount of funds in the bank account at any point in time. So if it's higher, then we are underinsured. Whatever that number looks like, we are underinsured. And that's actually, it could be a statutory violation. So it's in Statute 720, this requirement. So that's just a silly reason for the community to be in violation when it's an easy fix there.
If it is not the entire bank account's reserves, everything,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes, ma'am. So that's an easy fix. This would be a premium change as an increase goes. We will never force a change. What we would do is get an option coming to renewal to say, hey, here's what it looks like, and then it's up to the board at the end of the day. But you guys, I know you guys are highly paid to do what you do for the community. So I would say that any bit of protection we can get you guys with the decisions you make would be helpful. On our crime policy, we also have a $1,000 deductible there. So if the option was never presented to you, we can remove the deductible totally for about $10 and make it zero instead of $1,000. So that's just something to consider, and we could look at that again come renewal.
So how does that work then? So if you needed to activate the policy,
For the crime coverage, I think there would just be no deductible. You'd file a claim and no deductible.
So you just pay more premium to not have a deductible.
About $10 more, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we would quote that option as well for you guys to consider. Mm-hmm. And then I know I keep saying everything's another big thing we found. So everyone watches the news, or you watch the news on your phone, right? And what you see a lot is theft of funds through cyber hacking. Is the best layman's way to explain it, right? People are stealing people's bank accounts and stealing funds through that manner. So this coverage is called social engineering coverage. And what it means is the impersonation of any person or organization where a payment is approved because it looks like it's coming from that person or organization, like an invoice, and then it gets approved, say your insurance invoice, right? And if a person intercepts the invoice, changes how the payment terms would be, like instead of mailing a check, you have to process the payment via ACH, and it goes to Never Never Land, okay? That's an example of social engineering. That's what everyone is seeing in the news right now.
Does that count like check washing?
It's electronic. It's going to be electronic, very likely. So I'll give you a live example. The agency that I was the vice president for, we had an association that had been with us for like 6 years. So they were familiar with seeing our invoices, what they look like, the board and the management company. We sent out normal procedure. We sent out the invoice. The board approved it. Hey, go ahead and pay this. The management company said, great, let's pay this. The management company called our office and said, hey, we see that you guys are now doing ACH. Should we process this? Because it doesn't give the remit here address. Our accounting department told them we don't accept ACH. We thought that was done. The lady that was processing the payment at the management company, her husband passed away like 2 days later, and she still went to work. Not my business, I understand, you know, everyone has different things going on. And she processed the payment via ACH when she got back, because she saw it was approved, she had forgotten, I guess. And she ended up processing $140,000 payment to Never Never Land. It was a real account, and they did not have this coverage. And so I don't think it's the same as check washing, because the key here is that it was approved. It was an approved expense by the board. It was efficient. So with all the money that all of the residents here pay to maintain the association, we want to help protect your funds. And so social engineering is a coverage that is widely available for community associations like yours. And so we would want to look at that option. I don't know. Yes, please. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Justin here, Treasurer. Two questions. And maybe there's more like considerations to have me. I am in this space, and I see this a lot in the finance and accounting world, so it's definitely something that I think is relevant. The risk is increasingly growing over time, so some level of control and mitigation of that risk is certainly something that I think the board should consider and take in as we, you know, listen to the rest of the presentation. My question is, sometimes, most of the time not, but sometimes the Fidelity bond has coverage in this already. So I'm curious, do we know if our bond has any sort of social engineering coverages in there that maybe we're only protected and we don't know we are yet? You know, maybe that's just a broad question. And number two is, I would think that because a lot of the movement,
sure, thank you. Those are great questions. Yeah. Kim, do you mind if I take that?
Go for it.
Okay, great. The story is not meant to come off the management companies or irresponsible or anything like that. These things happen. These things happen, and it was approved to pay the invoice. It just didn't get paid the correct way, right? So to answer the question straightforward, do you have the coverage now? So we reviewed your actual policy forms, and the coverage is not there. So you are correct, it is usually associated with the crime coverage. It's a separate item of coverage, and it's not included currently.
Is there any type of cybersecurity coverages?
So no, so cyber would be separate, and you guys don't have cyber coverage. So the next question was the management company, do they have coverage? The management company, I don't want to speak on behalf of Resource, but knowing the caliber that Resource is, there's very likely they have a crime policy, but that crime policy is for Resource's money. Our crime policy for Ankload is for Ankload. And our policy actually extends to Resource in capacity of working for Ankload on behalf here. So our money is in our account, meaning it's in Ankload's account, right? So Resource probably has professional errors and omissions coverage that if one of their team members did make this mistake, there probably is something there. But just directly as far as like protecting our money, they probably are not insuring the association's money because the association is supposed to be doing that, which is also
cyber that covers them. But okay. I don't know if that covers what you're talking about.
Okay, gotcha, yep. And so this is why it's a statutory requirement for HOA and condo associations to have their own policy.
What's the cost of that usually?
So I don't know how much money you guys have right now. So there's twofold here, right? We need to look at increasing the limit from 25,000. So whatever that difference looks like. But on average, the maximum usually you can get for the social engineering coverage is about $100,000. And there is usually an increment of 25,000, 50, or 100. If we went all the way to 100, I would guesstimate less than $500. And that's probably me going high because I didn't actually quote it. So, but it's something we would want to consider. And Kim, honestly, I can't do this for you midterm, but you can email Sile and ask them for a midterm quote to add social engineering coverage. Yeah, absolutely. The highest they would be able to go now, though, is 25,000 because that's the limit. Mm-hmm. And if you guys aren't processing transactions over 25,000, that should be sufficient. So, but if you are, then you might want to look at a higher option. Any further questions on that?
No, thank you for responding. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for the question. Okay, moving through this, our directors and officers coverage. So we don't have choice of counsel for directors and officers coverage right now. This is not that big of a deal, but I would think that if I was sitting on a board, if I ever was unhappy with the way I was being represented, I would like to have the choice as I would as an individual, right, as hiring a private attorney. So that's something we could look at with another carrier. Some carriers offer it, some don't. And pricing is pretty much across the board pretty similar these days because the market is so soft. So we would just want to bring an option for the board to consider.
I will tell you, I've had that problem where it's like they're working for the person who's suing us, and we're like, what is happening? And we were able to ask for a change, so that, okay, that does happen.
Good. And I had a board president make a joke the other day about no one's going to fight harder to not pay a claim than your insurance carrier's attorney. but things happen, right? So thanks for that, Kim. Absolutely. That's great feedback. The umbrella coverage. So umbrella coverage goes over our primary liability coverage, which is like our slip and fall. We have $1 million there. And then it also goes over our directors and officers coverage that we just spoke about and our workers' comp coverage, which we'll talk about here in a second. Our effective date is off. Everything is effective at the end of October, except for the umbrella. The umbrella is effective in early February. So we were just looking to understand better, was there a lapse in coverage? Or did the board just decide to get this coverage in February? Because it's optional, so you haven't always had to have it. There was a lapse.
Yeah, she shortened it to make it all be similar to what she told me this time. It was before me, so I don't know the details of it, but.
Okay, so you think the renewal date has now been corrected to hopefully be in October? Okay, perfect, okay. Thank you for that. Okay, so we have quite a few homes on premises, right? We've got over 150 homes, is that right? 162, okay. So on your umbrella policy, so again, this is optional, but the community is paying for this coverage, so you want it to work for you, right? So this coverage, this umbrella policy has what's called a designated premises endorsement. And as tedious as this is for agents to have to work through, all 162 locations in the community should be listed on this policy. Does anyone in this room, this is bingo already. Does anyone live at 4269 Nightstar Trail? None of us are the lucky ones, huh? All right, well, no one wins a prize then tonight. That is the only address that is covered under this umbrella policy currently.
Is that the model?
Oh, that's the model, okay.
I'm guessing, I don't know the address.
Okay. And so this policy requires all 162 addresses to be scheduled out.
Is the gate address? There's two addresses listed up
there.
It's the gate.
Okay, so the gate is covered under this umbrella. So, you know, again, you guys made a decision to purchase this extra insurance, which a community to your caliber absolutely should have an umbrella. But we want to make sure, again, it works for you when the time comes. Hope we never need it, but if we do. So this definitely needs to be corrected. And the craziest part about this is there's no additional premium to do this. This is just simply a processing error on behalf of the agency, and we see this frequently. When there's more than a couple locations, the agency doesn't usually spend the time to add it in there. So that really needs to be corrected because the coverages are not correct on there.
The location schedule is not correct on there. Finally, the last coverage that we want to talk about today is your workers' compensation coverage. So you may say we have no employees, why do we have this? Workers' compensation coverage in this capacity is for the board, volunteers of the board that are officially appointed, but also it helps with uninsured subcontractors. So being professional company resources, it's normal procedure to collect proof of insurance from your vendors that you use to maintain the grounds. But in the instance that their insurance cancels and resource or employee isn't notified, they're still going to come to the property probably to do the job, right? Their insurance probably canceled because they couldn't afford the payment. So they need to come, do the job, get paid, and pay their insurance. So if any of their personnel were to get hurt on site, they're going to go to their company like anyone else would for work comp. They're going to say, oh, sorry for your luck, Joe. Our policy was canceled because we couldn't afford to pay the premium. So then where are they going? They're going to go to Anklet to say, hey, I broke my foot, I fell off a ladder, whatever it is, and they're going to expect Anklet to cover it. We're paying very minimal premium here. It's probably less than $500. Okay, so it's another optional coverage that's really recommended. However, with all work comp policies, it's mandated by the state. It's governed by the state of Florida. So there's a database for work comp coverage. Yours is inappropriately recorded under the wrong FEIN number. So again, another data processing error. So for the board that has the packet here, you'll see on the policy, you'll see what the FEIN number is and then what it should reflect per your association listing on the Division of Corporations. Another fix, that's just a data entry thing that would cost no money to just fix. So that concludes our presentation. I'm sorry if we went very quickly. I'd be happy to talk about our experience, about us. Tim loves to talk about claims. I know that you guys have a full board meeting.
For the workers' comp, that would cover the board as well. If they were to out there, like a gate fell off and they picked it up and something happened.
Yes. So we want to limit any type of activity to non-licensed activities, right? So no plumbing, electrical, no roof work. And then, I don't know if you set this room up or who does this for us, but say you guys came in and helped move some tables around, right? And you forgot your back. That would be an example of how this coverage would come into play. Yeah, absolutely. So I have another live experience with that. We had an association that was having, it was a condo association, they were having some painting work done, and the painter fell off the ladder and he broke his back. And so he got $34,000 from the association. Because of that exact scenario, the construction company that I worked for didn't have coverage in place because it canceled. So I'm happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
So I just wanted to, once the policy period is set from year to year, we don't have the option to cancel. We have to roll it to the end and then just pick up a new policy.
So you can do a cancel rewrite. In my opinion, it's not worth your trouble for that. You guys are almost there, but it is, we're here talking about all this risk, so obviously it's important. What our experience has been is we can work with Kim to help dictate the emails, just so you don't have to spend time thinking about all the things that you have to put in there, and then you can take it and send it to the current agent, and then we can help guide you until the renewal on how to work through those things. Yeah. I want to say it's pretty straightforward stuff from an agency perspective, but they didn't even know what an insurance summary was, so I guess maybe it's not as straightforward for everyone.
I did include the summary that she did for us too in your packet, so
thank you. Oh, thank you.
Okay. Anything from you guys on Justin or Ed?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. And I'm so sorry. I meant to introduce myself. Manny, nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm Everett. Thank you, Everett. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to see you. Oh, sorry. Don't fall. Nice to see you. Thank you guys so much for your time.
I know I'm sure this is boring, but we appreciate it.
It's important.
Yeah,
she didn't play that at all.
Yeah. No, maybe my shoes are a little too high. We'll talk about that next time. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it so much.
Okay. So I guess just to put a bow on that, I guess we need to provide detail to get a quote from her
Yeah, so you would have to do an agent of record because only one person can go out to bid for all the insurance agents. There's a lot of them, agencies that only do one each carrier, so they have to pick who they're going to go to. If you want her to go to do the big shopping, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to go with her, but she would be the one to get the quotes if you chose to.
Got it.
So my understanding, that would be done in September?
Probably sooner than later, because you got 30 days. The carriers will give you the policy renewal right around 30 days, so give us some time to shop.
So
and
like
push
August,
people.
It's like the next month thing.
Probably the next month thing, yeah. Because you gotta, you know, she's whoever you guys choose, and your agent needs to shop for you, fight for you, and do everything that's best for you, just to make sure that you're covered fully. I mean, if you look at just the financial piece, if you have $25,000, I mean, we're well above that.
Yeah. So what is the action that the board needs to consider? Even if we don't vote on it tonight, we need to, what's the ask?
If you want to proceed with them, would you like them to see what they can provide for you, then you guys could do that, or we could bring other people in to look at as well. And it would have to be like an additional meeting, just because we wouldn't want to wait until the next one. Could be Zoom, you know, we could send that out to everyone, whatever you guys like.
And the next person that comes in will present their perspective on what we need from a coverage perspective.
They should have pretty much the same takeaways. That should be pretty, it's really who you guys feel is gonna do what's best for the community and look out for you on like those little items, yeah. That, you know, the statutory requirement things, we never wanna be hung up on that. Somebody tripping and falling, that's the only thing that's covered under umbrella. That, you know, that's the big concern, I think, of the takeaway. Now we're gonna correct these, because she's gonna give me the whatever I need to say to the current. But it's just hard to be put into that.
Yeah, and she's providing that service free of charge?
Yeah, that's
true. She's gonna help, like?
Yeah, she created this for free, or not this, the one that's in your packet. She did that for just because she knows we need it.
Got it.
And, you know, she happened to come in to say hi to me one day, and I'm like, I can't get an insurance, sorry.
Got it.
So yeah, they don't charge for anything that they do, because I mean they make money on their commission. Right.
Yeah.
But they don't charge for all of the extra coming to meetings, presenting to you guys. None of that is a charge. That would be illegal, and they have to do travel time. They don't do that. No agents do that.
Got it. And then I guess the other question I would have is, like, do you have could you provide the board with any references from folks that have, I don't know if you have, based on two things, sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
One, like some references for this particular group, and then two, from your, like, comparing them to others in the space.
Mm-hmm. That's, I can provide the top,
correct.
The top three.
Okay. Justin or Ed, any other follow up before we move on?
I just think it's important. I think it, so a couple things I like. I like the fact that they position themselves as HOA specific, right? That is very important when it comes to selecting a vendor to protect our collective risk here. So I do like that about them. I do think a prudent next step would be, though, because remember, she's selling us on their services, right? So, you know, from that lens, she picked out some gaps in our current coverages. I'd be very curious to take that back to our current agent and highlight those gaps and get their perspective on why those gaps exist. You know, whether it's a competence thing, whether it's a experience thing. I'm just curious, you know, I don't like the idea of us being out of compliance with the statutory regulation and the fact that, you know, our insurance, you know, current insurance agent wasn't able to kind of like, you know, call that out to us is a little bit concerning. So I just think this is a relationship business. Whoever we choose to go forward with, we've got to make sure that we're protected. So I like it. The presentation, thought it was great. I'd be curious if you bring some of these findings back in to the mm-hmm. current folks and just get their feedback. I'm just curious what they would say.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when she, you know, kind of pinpoints these for me, I'm going to send it off to her. And then I'll definitely get back with you guys on the response. And hopefully it's just an easy that they fix majority of it.
Yeah, I think there's two, I agree with Justin, there's two parts of it. Great, you fix it, and secondly, why is it like that? Like, who did that? Like,
yeah. And that's just where I say you just have to have somebody who's going to make sure that you're covered. And, you know, that's, you know, whoever that might be.
All right, so just to wrap, just to bring it full circle. So, Kim, you're going to work with our current agent.
For the corrections.
And you're going to circulate that to the team, and as well as whatever their feedback is as to what the why, right? And I think, and then we're going to get another group to do a similar review and give us their findings as well. And then I think we can take that and we need to.
We can decide
what we want to do. Yep. And I don't think we, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if we need a meeting for somebody to circulate a bid.
Just if you want to meet them and just feel, you know, because that's, you know, you want to make sure if you want to ask questions and see, that would be the only time.
Yeah, I think the first thing is to get this.
And we can have everybody review them and see if they come up with similar things.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there.
And then we can set up a Zoom or a video call and talk to that vendor selection. All right? Am I good there? Absolutely. All right. Director's report, so we'll go back up to item number 5. Who's doing the Justin, are you prepared to treasure report, or can we going to do that, or who's going to do you got it?
I can do it. Yeah, Kim and I connected, we spent some time together between the last board meeting and today, kind of prepping for this, so I think I can get it for you real quick. So guys, hey everybody, I don't know who's there, but I'm really welcome, nice to see you all here, nice to see and hear all you all. but yeah, from a budgetary perspective, I think where we're at mid-year, high level, we continue to be in a very good reserve position. We kind of predicted that going into the year, and we kind of knew that was kind of the engine behind us to be able to kind of give us the reserve, the capacity we needed financially to be able to continue to invest and grow into the community. So definitely feel confident about where we are from a budget cash / reserve perspective. As far as the operating budget goes, mid-year, so I think everything has been going according to plan. And, you know, our budget is a function of time, of both time, a little bit, and kind of activity. And what I mean by that is when you look at the budget line items line by line, some will look like, oh, wow, we're only halfway through the year, but we're already at full budget. And that's just because that was planned, right? This isn't a monthly budget. It's an annual. And so maybe those costs are just incurred in the first half of the year, and therefore you don't expect additional costs. So that's the function of the time that I'm referring to. The function of the activity is quite literal, you know, how much activity are we putting into each one of these line items. And so one that I want to call to the community's attention, and I want to set the backdrop for a couple of the points that we're going to talk about later this evening with regards to the gate, and most importantly, the enforcement policy that we're going to get into later, but I want to put a financial backdrop on that. And the reality is this, guys, we're about 10K over budget on our legal and professional line item. And the bad news is we're 10K over. The good news is those are one-time, non-recurring situations. Going into this fiscal year, even though we put in legal and professional legal budget items, we don't plan for a trip and fall and having to, you know, defend our community and defend ourselves against the trip and fall. So that, again, a one-off occurrence. And then there's been a lot of effort and a lot of engagement with legal on standing up this enforcement policy that we're going to get into today. So Kim and I called her about a month ago and said, look, we need to sit down with the budget. We need to look at it. We need to see if we're getting way too out of hand here and what impact this might have on the future. Right now, I think we're going to watch and let's let the balance of the year kind of come to fruition and kind of play itself out. Meaning, I think we will, even though we're 10K over on the legal, we're only really about 1,800 to 2,000 behind on overall plan from an expense standpoint. And time can catch us up over time as we continue to carry out the latter half of the year here. So, point being, 10K over on the legal professional, nothing to be concerned about at this point, nothing that we feel, there's also no other one-off things lurking and looming in the background that we feel like contribute to that, so we've kind of recasted the budget in a way, and I still think we can land in a favorable spot by the end of the year, and so we will see, but definitely everybody kind of we'll see how that works. But overall, I think things are great. Legal professionals got a little bit out of budget for a little bit. We'll dive into the whys behind that later. And no concerns really. No.
Thanks, Justin. Does anybody have any questions there? Good. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to give just a couple points as well. First, I think, when do we bring your company in?
October.
So I think it's important to just kind of talk through where we're at from a management company's perspective. We made that change in October of last year. I think Kim and her team have done a very nice job. Hopefully people are feeling like they're getting more communication and things are being taken care of, and her team is very responsive. So I wanted to just call you out, highlight that. We're going to talk about the enforcement policy, so I'm not going to get into the details. I just thought it was important to bring a point of clarity of what escalated or put us in this particular situation. So just a little bit of high-level backdrop. The NPOA was the group that has managed ANCLA's that relates to any architectural design, maybe you want to do your landscaping, your house color, et cetera, et cetera. That still is the case. And then they were also handling all of the enforcement, like street parking, you need to cut your grass, you need to take this down, put this up, et cetera. So all of the rules enforcement. The role that the management company for ANCLA played in that was essentially a partnership, right? So our management company would go and do inspections. They would do inspections, communicate. We were sharing the list with the NPOA. Here's what we're saying from violation. Here's what you guys have. We would help to work to try to clear those violations, but we really had no teeth or anything to be able to move or advance the process. At the end of 25 in December, the NPOA sent the board a notice that said, hey, want to meet with you guys. It was a very short notice. And I took the position as a president that I didn't like the fact that I felt like the meeting was being pushed really fast. And I said, well, let's just push it to the first of the year. They had the meeting anyway and basically said, well, we're gonna have the meeting, so either you guys are there or you're not. Some people showed up. I did not go to that meeting. And in that meeting, the NPOA was deciding that they were going to push the enforcement or of ANCLA's rules and regulations onto this organization, to the board. The challenge with that, which is what Justin was just highlighting from a legal perspective, the challenge with that is that our financial budget was already completed in December. We had already talked about what the HOA increase in dues were going to be. All that stuff was noticed. The budget was locked. It was sent out. So within that, we didn't have enforcement. We didn't have all of those things that go along with what it takes to stand up the enforcement of the rules and regulations. So that's what we're in the process of doing, which is what drove up the legal, that's a part of the legal increase. There's other issues I'll touch on high level really quick. But the building and talking about the enforcement policy required us to engage our attorney, start reviewing documents to be able to set the policies up so that we can get ourselves in a position so that we can enforce the rules inside of ANCLA. That does not, at this point in time, that does not include the architectural stuff. If it was up to the NPOA, they would say, you do all of that, but they're not willing to relinquish. There's a lot more that we need to be able to do that. So I thought it was important to give a little bit of the four corners of what happened from a standpoint of we didn't wake up and say, this is something that we want to engage in. It kind of was pushed and we needed to react. And so that part of that reaction was when we signed the contract with the management company, that contract didn't include the level of enforcement and everything that has to be done. So that's obviously going to be an increased expense as well that we had to prop up and get that going. At this particular point in time, there's letters being sent, but there's no enforcement on. So just wanted to share that component. Everybody's probably heard some version of the slip or the trip or the fall on the sidewalk. There's tons of versions out there. Obviously, I'm not going to get into it from a legal perspective, but other than to say, yes, it happened, right? That did occur. So we have counsel represented from through our insurance policy, right? So we have to engage counsel to represent the interests of the board or the community as it relates to that trip and fall. There's a lot going on with it, but that's I just wanted to kind of clear that up. It's like, yes, we have legal counsel that's being acted upon by our insurance policy to be able to cover and represent us in that particular situation. I think those. Oh, and then the last thing that I wanted to share, because everybody's seen that as well. Kim's hired someone to go out and paint the sidewalks where there are uneven surfaces. And you know, that was done for a couple reasons. The sidewalks are the responsibility of the homeowners to repair those. I see some people have already started to do those repairs. So one is the highlight so people don't trip on them. We say that, like, we highlight, we mark them. And then two, to call out to the homeowners that you have an issue there that needs to be ground or ground down or replaced. So I just wanted to bring that up. And so that's all I have. I don't know if do you have anything from a management perspective?
I was just gonna say, we've had some great responses to the people who have had sidewalk areas or some landscaping issues. We have had some really good responses. We've kind of eased into it. We're not trying to bombard. We're not trying to, you know, call anyone out. We're just trying to do friendly reminders. But we've had some really nice people reach out and take care of that. And if you see something, you can report that to us. If you, hey, there's a sidewalk area, you know, because it's hard to get them. One time you're there and it's fine, and then that tree has got it up the next time. So if you do see something, I know some of you are probably familiar with Mackenzie. She's still on maternity leave. We're hoping maybe she's got another 6 weeks and she'll be back. But Vicky, in the meantime, she's back in full on Monday, and you know, she's happy to talk to you guys, walk through, making sure we put those work orders in so that we can make sure we take care of them.
So what are the things that we're responsible for as our board versus the MPOA? I'm just trying to understand who's responsible for what. You said landscaping. I thought the architectural board took care of that as well.
Like on your property? So
yeah.
Like if you're, like, you have a bunch of weeds,
I
do. I'm going to send you a little notice. Oh. I know, don't be all. But I'll send you a little notice. It says, hey, just so you know, your weeds are awake. Please, you have, you know, 7 days. Please take care of it. And, you know, that's just part of our enforcement. Is to, you know, say something like that. And if, you know, it might be, oh, you know, your house needs to be painted, you're going to get more than 7 days, you know. But it's just that communication. And if something happens and you're like, hey, I'm hired somebody, but he can't come for 2 months, just tell us that. We'll make a nice note. The board gets a report on it, and then everybody will know, hey, you're taking care of it. It's okay.
But to answer your question also, Adam, if you wanted to replace a tree, that would be the MPO.
Right. We don't have anything.
Right. So you wanted to change, you wanted to take... I'm not a tree guy. So if you want to take this plant out, there's an approved plant list. If you were within that, you're fine. But if you were trying to get some sort of exception, or you wanted to change the color of your house, or you wanted to make some sort of exterior modification, that would go to the NPOA, not...
So approvals, enforcement.
Correct. That's the guy.
So with the, what you were saying about this stuff that became our responsibility now from the NPOA, it kind of sounds like, because Anglo has been known to be the highest violators in Starkey, unfortunately, that people don't really correct the problem. It kind of sounds like the Starkey MPOA got tired of dealing with it and basically just said, you guys handle your own BS now. I mean,
That's not what happened. We had violations. I don't really go to the MPOA meeting, so I'm not gonna opine on the violations. I see violations when I drive outside of ANCO that seem to be crazier than what we had inside behind the gates. But I think it's a bigger issue that the MPOA is dealing with, a larger legal issue that by separating us, it eliminates some risk and exposure that they may have. I think it's more of that than it has anything to do with we're not curing our violations, because the comment about us not curing our violations, when that came up, at the time we had the previous management company, was when we started the, okay, so then we will partner with you all and we'll have our management company go out and do inspections and communicate those inspections and turn the list over and we'll share, and then we'll help clear those violations up. When we were actively doing that, we were making a lot of progress on those violations. And the, one of the biggest violations that we had at ANCO at the time was trees. That was the biggest one, and then the second one I think was probably on street parking or something to that effect. But at some point the MPOA stopped sharing their list with us, and so I'm glad you brought that up there, because that's not exactly.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But secondly, this may not be possible, and you guys may not have actually even gotten to the point where you discussed this at all, but you were saying that architectural stuff is still MPOA. Is that something that we're going to try to take over from them, or is it the intention to kind of lead that to the MPOA side?
So to be clear, I don't think we've made a decision one way or the other. What I will say is that there are, you know, depending on who you ask, there's different thoughts on it, whether we should or shouldn't. My perspective is the lift, there'll be a lift to be able to set up all of the things that you need, right? So you would need people that volunteer to approve all the architectures. First, you need legal documents to change everything, which will be an expense. And then once you get all the legal documents, then you have to set up the various standards and the things of that nature. We have touched on it briefly with the attorney, but I think for us, the first step that we have to resolve is we have to resolve the rules component of it, because right now Kim's sending out notifications, but there's no real. We just need people to comply, right? We just need people to do the right thing. There's no like anything to enforce. Yeah, so that's the first thing is let's get that done, because that's the lowest hanging fruit, and we got to get that done right now. And then I think the board can talk about how they're going to approach it in the future, including when we get down to the 27 budget. Like, we're going to have to add some legal fees and increase costs and things of that nature, which inevitably are going to be passed to all of us as individual homeowners.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You good?
Good.
Everybody, know about the director reports?
Yes.
I have a quick question. So getting back to like the MPOA, you know, and you know, HOA, you know, with the strips that are on the sidewalks, it's great, but there's so many in the neighborhood that are still not marked, you know, and it kind of goes back to the whole tree issue. You know, I learned that West Bay didn't put in those barriers, so we're all going to experience the sidewalk issue. And I'm not knowledgeable, but I don't think we can take those trees out and just put in a different tree that's approved, that they have to be those same trees. Are we, you know, as an association, looking at having this an association problem versus directly homeowners, since we had, you know, there's only a few trees that I've seen in the neighborhood that aren't those, I can't even think of the name of the tree now, trees are that we have, but there's a couple of like pines, and the pines, where the pines are, they're not raising the sidewalks. But as an association, we paid to have the tree trimming because we had issues. So as an association, are we going to take care of the sidewalks, since eventually this is going to affect everyone?
I can't speak on everybody. I think that the answer is we haven't looked at it, and it's more complex than that, because the reserve study that we had done a couple years ago, which is what is driving also a portion of our dues to make sure that we're fully reserved, because the documents did not have the sidewalks as the responsibility of the HOA, the sidewalks are not included in your reserve study, right? It's saying as we have the roads covered, but the sidewalks are not, right? So, you know, it becomes, we're gonna pay for it, right? It just comes down to whether or not an individual is gonna pay for the slab in front of your house, or whether we're all gonna pitch in and pay for all of the sidewalks. And that's gonna come in two different, it's gonna happen two different ways. This is gonna be you have to upgrade the reserve study, so we'll have to fully reserve for whatever that replacement component looks like. And then you would have to forecast in your upcoming budget replacement costs, repair costs, that is just going to be spread out through all the homeowners, right? And so that's a bigger conversation for a lot more residents to opine on, because I don't know what that would do on an individual on a monthly or quarterly dues, but that's what.
What about then, is there any way to have representation from the board at these MPOA meetings to maybe petition that we can have different trees planted there, since it's going to be a problem because these trees are going to get so big and it's going to raise the sidewalks no matter what. No matter how many times we replace them or sand them down, over time it's going to create the same issues. But we have to replace it with the exact same tree, from what I've been told. You can't have a different tree that the roots may not give you that effect.
We had the same issue with that, let's chase. What it's worth, they put in all the oaks everywhere, and what they ended up doing is we're ripping out the oaks in some areas and put magnolias in because they did not tear up the cement.
Got it.
Not that I'm proposing that, but that answers your question.
Yeah.
And I think it goes above the MPOA to where it's a Pasco County correct issue itself, so it's not even the MPOA or Starkey MPOA saying, hey, everybody has oaks. It's actually Pasco County has a requirement. And it's some deal that Starkey, when the builders built it, they said, hey, you're going to have X amount of oak trees per housing development in there. So
there's a couple on that list. I think there's maybe three or four approved trees.
Yeah.
But it is a county requirement that they be there. They can't be without.
Are we able to look into, just kind of do some background, because, you know, now with the sidewalk and the issue in the future, are we able to kind of look and see what that kind of cost estimate would be over time, as if it was to become an association issue versus a homeowner issue? It's because I've seen some other communities do it, and the cost is pretty high.
Yeah, look, I think my two cents is, yes, we should 100% explore it. I just want to remind you, it's not an association, it's just 162
times. Yeah.
We're just so small that the impact is going to, it's going to feel a lot bigger because of the fact that we're so small. But I don't have any issue with us, you know, looking at the reserve study and having somebody come out and update it. Looking at the insurance, it probably would hurt that. So I look at the reserve study to make sure that that what I'm saying is exactly right, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know, Justin, Ed, I don't know if you guys have any additional things to chime in there.
No, I think it's worth exploring, honestly. Because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, we don't want to be a victim of just the way a previous developer or previous people had established the rules that maybe they were not practical in today's day and age, right? Like, we weren't the ones that set the rules. And so, you know, I think we should have a say in how our community is governed on a go-forward basis. And just like the trees, I think this is a very analogous type concept. So I'm all for, you know, expanding the reserve study to include sidewalks.
tied up about the trees, but if we have to have those, could they be in the backyard? Like, does it have to be in the front?
I think we're pretty sure that the way Pasco writes it, it has to be up in the front, in between that area. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I
because if you have one like in the front room, you have to have one by the sidewalk.
It doesn't have to be that oak. It has to be one of the approved trees. Not all of them get as big as oaks. But we want to have some sort of tree there. We don't want to have nothing. And
yeah.
If that would destroy the appeal of the entire neighborhood. So we either have to, like you said, do a reserve study that accommodates for the destruction it does, or have a tree there that wouldn't cause as much damage but doesn't take away from the aesthetics of our community.
Yeah.
Having no trees would be a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but nobody wants to have the sidewalks look like garbage either. So we have options, but.
So the takeaway is we'll take another look at having the reserve study updated to just understand A, what that looks like, and then B, I don't know, let's start there and then we can kind of work our way down of like if there's another type of tree we can kind of work our way, but
I can get with Pasco County too.
Yeah, and just understand what their requirements are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, share what our concerns are from the community standpoint of, look, we're a fairly young community, we're starting to get to the point where the trees are starting to become an issue. We're trying to get ahead of this before it becomes a massive situation, and like what are our options here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. New business. So just next one is the gate upgrades. Right, which has already been voted on to move forward. But I just want to.
Good choice.
Good choice. I just want to. Just a quick high level recap on the gate upgrades. This is specifically talking about the user interface to get in and out, right? So we have a very archaic system up front that doesn't like for us to update it during the middle of the day, doesn't like it has all sorts of things that are just fun. And so in the last meeting, the board voted on replacement. We didn't pick a unit to replace with, but we did vote on moving forward with that. With the idea that you have a system that you can expand if we decided to add control access to the pedestrian gates. If we wanted to replace that, you could expand. But it was also really about the guest interface as well, the ability to how to be able to allow that guest to come in, whether it's a vendor or whether it's somebody staying for the weekend. So that's what that's the gist of it. It's not anything to do with the arm going up and nothing to do with the gates that's doing that. It's 100% that little green keypad that looks like it's the 90s.
People right
on. So that's the deal there. So you want to present that, Kim? What were your thoughts?
Sure. So we had, we went out to bid for multiple companies. We had two that came back to us. So we have the company that we're currently with that takes care of ours is a Butterfly MX basic and a full features. They did not have something that would allow us to have gate entry on the pedestrian side, because we probably ideally would like the same thing if your children are coming in and you don't want to have to worry about fobs, having something on their phone that like gets them into the gate, something like that. So we were really looking for that type of feature. The one that the MyQ is the one that had both. It's the LiftMaster MyQ system. Has all the features that come with it. So it ends up being a tiny bit more for the TEM MyQ system, but because it retrofitted with the pedestrian, we would save that money at the end. So, and I sent links to you guys previously to have demos so you could kind of see which one kind of worked best. I mean, they're both really good systems.
I did some research on it. I looked into like a couple other vendors and stuff too, like Unify, I like for other products, but for mm-hmm. pedestrian gate and vehicle gate, I didn't think it was the right choice. For door access or building access, great in camera systems, but I personally, I like the IQ, the access only. For the price, for the advance is kind of, that's where they kind of market like the video calling features
right.
and stuff. And I don't think
extra.
Right. That's worth that $20,000 cost. And then just some of the reviews I saw was that MyQ kind of had a little bit more better results versus the Butterfly MX. Butterfly MX seemed to really harp on video calling, where me personally, I'm trying to get through the gate or a vendor is trying to just call and get through. I don't really think that that's necessary. And then us, and I think in all of our homes, we have MyQ already kind of set up. So most of us will already have accounts. I think that transition will be easier, more familiar with the app. And that was just my personal opinion.
It just doesn't include the actual gates. It included everything else because we had told them ahead of time that was our end goal.
So do we have an additional broader question to the group? So I'm assuming we have an additional expense to lay out regarding to modify, improve, fix the gates that are currently there now.
Yes, you would have to at some point we would have to replace or replace the pedestrian gate.
Got it.
Which, if you recall, we've had some conversations about when we think about the total future of ANCLO, you know, redoing the fencing in that area anyway, like putting in fencing that would mirror kind of what the gates kind of look like now, going off into the woods, and then you would resolve the pedestrian gate at that particular time, so that it would be a front entrance enhancement to the community.
And the MyQ already works with it. We already have all the pieces for it.
So, but we would be paying for the call box upgrades now, pausing, determining if and when we improve the gates themselves, and then adding on these features on those improved gates. Is that the kind of high level plan?
Yeah.
In other words, are we paying for the pedestrian gates now, even though we're not ready to install them?
No, we would just have them line item that piece out. It would just be, yeah, it was just totaled if you chose all of those options. So we would just not, yeah, we wouldn't pay for it until we're ready, because if it's 2 years, 3 years, you know?
Cool. Yeah,
not that we want to do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So are we receiving a discount right now to buy all the product up front? Because there's going to be a lead time in what you're saying for us to get the gates, and now we're going to be having a carrying cost on that product.
We're not paying for the ones for the pedestrian
okay,
gates.
So
yeah, it's a line item, so we choose, but it's something you can add on later. It just was able to be added on where the other one just didn't have that.
So the bid request for Kim to go look at was the ability to expand. The ability to bolt on instead of having to have a couple of different systems.
And listen, I know it's a sore subject for everybody, and I know we want a better interface to let vendors in, which is cool. What are we doing about the gates as a whole? These things are down every day. I now see people putting them on the side of the road. People are coming in and out nonstop. I saw one hit a car the other day. The car was driving by. They just kept going. What do we do? Do we have a plan for that? And I know we selected a vendor a long time back. A lot of us didn't like that vendor. There was actually someone in the community that was willing to give the gate for free, if I recall. That was a big issue. And we still omitted that and decided to pick this vendor, and it's not living up to what it needs to.
So a couple things.
It's my first name. I don't care if that guy's showing up.
A couple things. When the development was done and turned over to the HOA, what the community was presented with were the aluminum gates. That was what was there. For those that were here at that time, those gates would go down on a regular basis. One, they were heavy, they move open and close, people hit them, all that stuff. The only change, the The only change that was made was the traffic arms were added so that you could stop the tailgating because the gates would open and then like 10 cars would go in and then they'll finally close back up. So those traffic devices were added. And everything else, we replaced the guts because they were damaged from somebody hitting the gates. But so that was all that was done. And so the I don't really want to rehash all of that, but the reality of it is that I like to just continue to remind people when we talk about replacing the gates, we didn't replace the gates, we just added up
the tailgate.
Right, that's all we did, right? And I don't look at as somebody professionally that manages a lot of real estate, a lot of properties, gates get hit every day. There's just nothing we watch the video, people just can't drive. People, gates come down, they run into them, they tailgate, they do all these different things. The one thing that we were trying to achieve when the decision was made, the board made way back when, which I think financially has been successful, is that we were trying to stop the bigger gate from getting hit and the bigger gate from going down. Our repairs on the big gate, since we put those arms in, which is the most expensive thing, we haven't had really zero issues with that. So now we're in the middle of replacing the poles that are designed to fall off when somebody run into them, right? So there is no plan. I do think that he watches the video all the time. I do think that an improved interface will stop some of the frustration, because you'll see. We'll see people, they've written codes on the keypad, right? So they're trying to overcome some sort of objection to either the keypad call box is not functioning properly, it gets hung up, and now it's in a state of open, and there's all kinds of noise around.
And I think also what we're seeing is some issues where at the time, we didn't really understand the quarterly maintenance requirement. Yeah, so we enacted that to where you would see where it like start chopping and then drop on a random car. So I think actually the last meeting, maybe two meetings ago, we started doing quarterly maintenance on it, to where as soon as we see kind of those issues, now the vendor comes out and comes repairs it. Also the camera, we adjusted one of the cameras to go over the call box just to kind of capture if individuals kind of trying to transcribe or to get better images for insurance claims or anything when the vehicles do hit, and we have vendors and drivers and even residents plow through those probably once every 2 weeks or so.
We had the DoorDash guy who measured to see how he could fit under. There's a little short squatty parking under, but if you have the MyQ app, you give them a code, they'll be able to get it.
Yeah,
and
no, that's great. Thank you for that.
So I think the biggest thing, though, is when we initially did those barriers is we were having issues with them falling, dropping, and everything. So what we did is that quarterly maintenance to repair the belts and the gears and everything and have them looked at.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Does anybody have... So I was on the MyQ. This is my question. I just wanted to make sure I understood. So this was... Is it a cost... So the upfront cost is the $14,000. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't put it in there and try to kill trees for you guys, but it's in your electronic.
Yeah, I think it is. Is this area?
That's just mine, Harrison, but I actually brought the contract too. It's in there as well too.
Hey Justin, do you have any comments on two things? One on the system that Kim recommended, Manny agrees with. So do you have any opinion on that? And then secondly, as a treasurer, are you good financially?
I have no, I
spaces ahead.
But you're good with the gate component of it itself.
Without the pedestrian.
$1,200 an annual subscription. So once we have the upfront, then it's $1,200 a year.
Got it. And you're paying for door cane currently? Monthly? No. No, it's like $60 or something. It's pretty cheap.
Alright, somebody wants to make a motion? $60. And make a motion.
To approve the quote.
You're making a motion for the MyQ what approval?
All right, I'm going to make a motion for the TEM Systems MyQ access only approval.
All right, give a second.
I'll second it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, enforcement policy approval was the next topic. What page is that in here? Okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right, so policy. This has been drafted. It's been sent to the homeowners. The board needs to make an official vote on this.
It's in your electronic copy.
Oh, okay.
Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the enforcement policy as presented to the board.
Can I get a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
It will require you to sign one page.
Okay. Is it worth for me just to kind of include that I'm sure it's probably if not, maybe just to call out to community benefits around our next steps around the community or a color there?
Yeah, sure. I will recite it the best as I recall from the meeting with the attorney. So essentially, the first step that we had to do was to get the policy created, right? So the attorney worked to create that policy. And then inside of that, it has associated fees that can be charged for the various violations. As they define the aggregate cap, and then I know it's a window to cure. The next step that the board will need to discuss, we won't do that tonight, is putting together an enforcement or fining committee. That fining committee will probably be, I think it's three people. We may have five people on it, but so you have always somebody there. So at least three people there to report. The way the fining committee works is Kim goes, Banjo Company comes through and forces whatever, the landscaping needs to be done. She goes, washing of the roof. That's an easy one. All right, so got to pressure wash the roof. Ideally, she reaches out, she sends a letter to the homeowner. Perfect case scenario, the homeowner responds back and says, got it, we're gonna work through it. Bad case scenario, the homeowner ignores the notice, she sends it out again, right? They do not cure the violation. And then that's when the schedule steps in as it relates to the fines that are being assessed for that resident not doing that. Ken will then bring to the board, here's a list of folks in fines and here are the violations and they're not curing their violations. We want the board to vote on moving those to the fining committee. The fining committee then should be an independent group, not affiliated with the board or the board members, that the homeowners can go in front of to talk about reducing the fine, to plead their case, whatever the case may be. I couldn't pressure wash because I was out of town, I didn't get the notifications, blah, 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 I don't think this is fair. The finding committee will make a recommendation to reduce the fine in half or whatever. Yes, oh, it's yes or no. See, just clean it up. So they can say yes or no to whether or not they're going to waive the fine, right? And do they get the fine? Like, if they say no, then that's it.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. But it doesn't mean that they can never be back to fining again. It would just restart the process over again. So if you still haven't done your roof and the fine committee, for whatever reason, said, yeah, no fine, you can start back over again. And then if you go back before the finding committee, then it might be, well, hey, you didn't do it last time either, and then maybe it'd be different. So.
Does the finding committee have the authority to say, we agree with you, we're not going to impose this against you at all? Or is it just more so to negotiate fines?
No, they can't negotiate the fines, just yes or no.
Okay.
So they get, you come and you say, hey, I was out of the country, and I'm so sorry I didn't do it, but they can say no for whatever reason.
But they can't say, I agree with you, they should define you. They should not.
Okay.
They don't have that ability to say, well, the management company should have wrote you up.
Right. They'll get a packet, and it'll show all of the letters, pictures, the whole thing, and then they can make their decision. And if somebody comes, they can plead their case if they like to.
And when they do plead that case, who are they pleading it to?
To the committee.
To the committee themselves. All
right. Cool. Any other questions? Okay. Pre-budget discussion.
This is just no decisions tonight. Justin and I are going to start meeting next month to start working on the budget. So just kind of put that out there. As I did put a little budget comparison in there for you guys just to review.
Okay.
And if there's anything that you note that are like, hey, I really want to make sure we have enough money to do X, Y, Z, that would be the time to start putting that out there. So when we start doing our first draft. You just have input.
That's really all.
Okay.
Justin, did you have anything? Yeah.
Yeah, that line right there, that line up. The earlier discussion about getting an updated reserve study.
Yes.
I think it's something we should jump out in front of now, so that way it helps with more budgetary.
I think that's great. I will do that too.
So that was the pre-budget. Before we move to adjournment, the meeting has pretty much been open for questions, but I want to pause if anybody has any questions before we adjourn the meeting. Anything else? You good? All right, so need a motion to adjourn the meeting. Come on, man, you know what? Hey, let's go.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Can I get a second?
Just a second.
That's it. All in favor? Aye. And aye. Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for coming out.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, so you're going to...
Thanks, guys.
I think we met before.
Okay.
Nice to meet you,
Todd.
Todd, ever.
Thank you.
Ever.
Nice to meet you.
It is.
Okay. Eric.
It was a good meeting. You must have got a shot. You guys did great.
Thanks.
I appreciate your support.
Watch stuff.
Yeah, wait till we get our insurance updated for you.
Yeah. How long would it take to get a reserve study done?
to get it updated.
Oh, can you read my stuff to see where they're at? They're, hopefully summertime is a good time for them.
Got it.
So we'll see where they're at. That is, you know, we budgeted for it. So.
Okay. Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe the only thing we have in there is roads. Mm-hmm. Roads and gates. Like gates and roads. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of it.
Yeah. So that's a good time for when I talk to them. Okay. Hey, while you're here.
Yeah.
On the side.
Which is also very interesting. I walk with these people. When you get into some of like the other sections, it's amazing the number of sewer caps is also like cracking around.